Our responsive psalm reading is on page 746 in the hymnal. It's Psalm 13, and if you would join me, we will read this responsively. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?
How long will you hide your face from me?
How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day?
How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?
Consider and answer me, O Lord my God.
Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep of death.
Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him.
Lest my foes rejoice, because I am shaken.
But I trusted in your steadfast love.
My heart shall rejoice in your salvation.
I will sing to the Lord.
For the Lord has dealt bountifully with me.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Hebrew Bible, from the book of Genesis. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. This comes deep within Genesis after we've met Abram. He has become Abraham. His wife Sarai has become Sarah, and they have given birth after doubting God. Sarah gave birth to Isaac. And so we have a story that is illustrated on the cover of your bulletin, an old woodcut, if you will, to illustrate the story that we're about to read. Genesis 22, verses 1 through 14. You can find it in the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament, if you will, of your pew Bible, on page 17, if you'd like to follow along. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham? And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut the wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, Father, and he said, Here I am, my son. He said, The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today is from Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. Can be found on page 146 in the New Testament of your pew Bible. Hear these words. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members to slaves as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from these things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Normally at this part in our service, we would have an anthem. As most of you know, our choir is on their summer vacation. And so the anthem is up to individuals who want to share their gifts of music with the rest of the congregation. So if you have an interest, if you are skilled in some form of music, if you would see me or in the time that Don is here, come see Don. We'll get you signed up and ask you to share your gift with all of us for the anthem. But today, let us move then forward to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. The gospel lesson is Matthew 10, verses 40 through 42. You can find that on page 10 in the New Testament of your Pew Bible, and I encourage you to follow along. This is Jesus speaking, so hear his words. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is one of those Sundays where if you've been listening to the scripture lessons, you might have heard that these lessons would lend themselves to a deep discussion of some heavy-duty theological ideas. It is at this point in my sermon that if Jane were here, she'd be rolling her eyes because she would say he's going to get deep in theology. But today is the second Sunday of Pentecost, and it's a summer Sunday as well, so maybe we can get away from too much academic gymnastics and get to the simple heart of the matter. At the core, these lessons boil down to the title of this sermon, The Reward of Righteousness. And as with so many of Jesus' parables, there is a double meaning here as well. We need to think about the reward that we get from God when we are righteous, and we need to think about the reward itself, which is righteousness. Think about those words. They hinge on the movement of the word of, the reward of righteousness. Now, clearly, I'm trying to stay away from heavy academics, but we need to be clear about a few definitions if we're to understand what it is that God is saying to us this morning. First of all, what does the word righteous mean? Righteous. Well, if you look it up on the dictionary on the internet, it tells us that righteous means characterized by, proceeding from, or in accordance with accepted standards of morality, justice, or uprightness, virtuous. Well, in the language of the Bible, to be righteous means simply to be in line with God's law, to follow God's rules, to be completely obedient to God. That is righteousness. Secondly, we need to understand the meaning of the word justification. That's a Wesleyan word we throw around a lot. To be justified means simply to be made righteous. I'm justified. I've been made righteous. To be made right with God. Justification does not mean that you are without sin, but rather that God sees you as worthy and righteous despite your sin. Each of us as a human being is by definition a sinner. I hope that doesn't come as a surprise, but each of us is a sinner. That means that on our own, we're not capable of following God's rules perfectly. We cannot be completely obedient to God by ourselves. But because of what Jesus the Christ did for you, you are forgiven. You are pardoned. Because God loves you that much, Jesus came to earth as a human man. Because Jesus suffered and died on the cross at Calvary, and because he rose again 3 days later from the dead, Jesus has once and for all time and for all people defeated the power of sin and death. Because Jesus was righteous, you are offered imputed righteousness. And that simply means that because Jesus loves you so much, he has taken responsibility. He has already taken responsibility for your shortcomings. His righteousness becomes your righteousness. In the language of the Bible, Romans 3, 21 through 26, to be exact, we say we are justified by grace through faith. If you talk to Mark Doctor, he can probably spout that by rote memorization. We talk about it a lot. We are justified by grace through faith. That means simply that because God has unconditional love for you, God offers you the gift of perfect obedience and living in line with God's blessings. And all that God asks in return for this gift of eternal life is that you believe in Jesus Christ with all your heart and your mind and your soul and your strength. This kind of full person belief in Jesus is what we call faith. I hope it's a bit clearer now. You are justified by grace through faith in Jesus. You are made right with God as a free gift from God, because you believe in Jesus and live your life accordingly. That's what it's all about. And when that happens, a natural and certain consequence of this transformation is that you want to act on those beliefs. Your response to this justification is to do good works. Yes, my sisters and brothers, the bottom line of being a Christian is, in fact, action. God is interested that you have belief in Jesus Christ, but God is also interested in seeing the results of that faith. That's why God has given you the Holy Spirit to move you into action. That's exactly what's illustrated in today's scripture lessons. Think about that story from Genesis about Abraham and Isaac. The Bible tells us that God tested Abraham by commanding him to sacrifice his firstborn son, Isaac. God told Abraham to kill his only son. And because Abraham had such faith in God, and because Isaac had such faith in God and in his dad, both of them followed God's directions without question. Any of you who are parents, can you even imagine what kind of faith that took? Abraham put his faith into action. Genesis 22, 16 through 17 tells us what God had to say about this faithful obedience and action. This is God speaking. Because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will indeed bless you. And I will make your offspring as numerous as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. When you accept God's unconditional love, and when you have faith in Jesus, your action will reflect that divine love and that life-transforming faith. Your life will reflect Jesus. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous, and whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. When you act in response to God's love, it makes all the difference. It doesn't have to be a big deal. Your action can be simple and profound. Whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of Jesus will be rewarded. Think about that reading from Romans. Paul is speaking to the people of the house churches in Rome in the first century, but he is also speaking to each one of us here today. You can choose to be a slave to sin, or you can choose to be a slave to righteousness, that is, to obedience to God. You really only have these two choices. You can follow sin, or you can follow God. Romans 26, 20 through 23 puts it clearly. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you get then from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. My sisters and brothers, this is the reward of righteousness, eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Put your faith into action. God be praised. Amen.